Good morning and thank you. Today I will discuss alignment of stars and fungicide resistance and how it led to a disease epidemic of sugar beet, and I will focus on the year 2016. I will start by making sure that all of us are on a level playing field by giving you a background of sugar in the United States. I will discuss a very damaging disease of sugar beet called Cercospora leaf spot and discuss how we manage this disease. I will then delve into what I believe are the reasons for the epidemic in 2016, and I will conclude with my take-home message so that you will have a memory of this early morning in October. In the United States of America, we consume about 12 million tons of sugar. We are sweet-loving tongue people, and we in the United States can't produce all of our sugar needs. However, because of the fact that we have treaties, and as Americans, we just don't destroy our treaties. We, most of the times, follow those. We have treaties with 40 different countries from which we import 15% of our sugar requirements. The other 85% is produced in the US of A, and it comes either from sugar cane, which is produced in Florida and Louisiana, or sugar beet. And this morning I will focus on sugar beet, which is produced in about 10 states, more or less temperate areas, but it can be grown in warm climates, including California. In North Dakota and Minnesota, we produce 57% of the U.S. sugar beet, which translates into about $5 billion in total economic activity. Now, I just looking at this crowd here, I realize most of you do not know about sugar beet, so I'll just spend a few minutes to introduce you to this wonderful crop. North Dakota is very flat, and our growers have to do lots of activities in a short amount of time. They are the typical gringos. They are individualized. They like to do things by themselves. And you can see from this picture here, a sugar beet grower, that about after about 24, I cannot count anymore, so that's a typical sugar beet planter. We plant transgenic sugar beet, and most of the time we'll use those same tractors to spray fungicides, herbicide, insecticide. And I still have some friends who are kamikazes. We can always go to aircrafts when it's wet. And very quickly, we plant in April or May, and by August we start harvesting. First, this is what a sugar beet crop will look like from the top, because it's transgenic. Two or three herbicide application will control our weeds most of the times, especially in the northern areas. And then we're ready to harvest. We remove the tops because we do not want the leaves. And then we have harvesters that come, remove the roots, take the beets, store them because of our cold conditions in piles. From October into May, we don't like to go into June, but we have to. We freeze some of these beets. We then take them to the factory and very easily convert them into the sugar that all of us like to have in our coffee. So that's sugar. In the good old days, you used to have the growers on one hand and the processors on the other hand. And what used to happen, the owners of the processing companies would bring seeds to the growers. And those seeds were very much tolerant to our most common diseases. But they were not very high yielding or high in sugar. And in the year 1973, one of the largest sugar beet companies, American Crystal, the growers decided to buy the factories and to become the owners, and that was a trend for all the sugar factories in the United States. And when the growers became the owners, they decided to have an open seed policy, which simply meant that they can decide which varieties they wanted. And most of the times, they went for higher yielding varieties, but which were much more susceptible to diseases such as Cercospora leaf spot. So what is Cercospora leaf spot? This is a fungal disease caused by the fungal pathogen Cercospora verticillata. What it does in favorable conditions, And I tell my growers in North Dakota, Minnesota, just think Florida, warm and wet, just like this morning. When you have warm and wet conditions, the fungus infect the leaves and it destroy the leaves. The leaves are the factories of the plant. And the moment you destroy the leaves, you reduce yields and you reduce the sugar quality. It starts very innocuously as simple spots, little spots. Eventually, it damages the entire leaves. And when you destroy your leaves, we are not producing tobacco. As I said, we want sugar. You reduce your tonnage and you reduce your yields. Now, in North Dakota and Minnesota, we started producing beets in 1926. But our first sugar beet epidemic for Sarcospora leafspot was not until 1981. And one of the reasons was we had resistance to a fungicide, the benzimidazoles. The next one was about 17 years later, when we had resistance not only to the benzimidazoles, but to triphenyl-tin hydroxide, or tin. And we should have probably contemplated that maybe 16 or 17 years later, we will have had an epidemic. But I was responsible for educating my growers and getting fungicides for them. Now, this here is a panoramic view of a sugar beet field where a grower didn't believe my recommendations. So he said, I'm going to test Muhammad hypothesis. I'm going to spray one part and then do not spray another part because the sprayer runs short of fungicide. And I don't always believe what Muhammad says, so let me see what happens. The part he didn't spray looked just like Muhammad. Dark and very unproductive. He lost about $347 per acre. So that is the disease. So from 1998, when we had our last epidemic, where American Crystal alone lost over $45 million, and other growers probably about $75 million. I was successful, and I was lucky in getting fungicides that were effective in controlling the disease. So what I did on an annual basis was I used different fungicides individually and in a rotation program to find out which were effective in managing this disease. And the pictures on the screen shows us on the left, if you don't do anything, you have reduction in yield because the leaves are damaged. If you use fungicides, especially when you use them from different modes of action, you use different modes of action in a rotation program, it controls the disease. I like to show pictures because they are easy to remember and believable, but the data is also there. If you use the fungicides in rotation, you have better leaf spot disease control, as indicated by the numbers 1 to 10. 1 means you do not have any disease. 10 means the leaves are all destroyed, your tonnage and your sugar goes down. Growers are most interested not only in you telling them what to do, but is it economical? And the answer is yes. You can save between $1,600 to $1,700 per hectare by using fungicides, or you do not have a crop. This little graph here shows what happened from 1983, because we do a survey every year, and I have from my growers to tell me what works and what doesn't work. Our epidemic of 1998, after that we used a number of fungicides in rotation, and we were very successful in reducing the number of applications and reducing the cost of production until the year of the Lord, 2015. What happened in 2015? It was wet, and we were starting to have resistance, but we were not aware of it. So we collected inoculum, and we used them in some of our field trials. In southern Minnesota, in the southern areas where it's warmer and wetter, you have much more severe Sarcospora leaf spot than in the northern areas where it is cooler. And all this picture tells you here on this graph is in southern Minnesota, from June to October of 2016, it was wet. It was warm. As a matter of fact, if you don't believe me, look at this graph here. In 122 years of record keeping of weather, it was the warmest and the wettest year. What did I tell you about this fungus? It likes it like Florida, warm and wet. But as a producer, you also like it warm and wet because it's also good for crop production. So it was good for crop production, but it was also good for the disease. And in 2016, we had an epidemic. Why? In 2015, we had some fields that were not effectively controlled with leaf spot using fungicides. So inoculum pressure was high. And in 2016, we planted early, so the rows were closed early. You do not have this disease until after the roads are closed. And it was warm, it was wet, we had warm days, warm night, and the fungus, we didn't know it during the time, but it had developed resistance to one of our best fungicides, a QOI fungicide. So when growers were applying these fungicides, unbeknownst to them and to us, the fungicide was not effective, and we saw what happened. This is a field in southern Minnesota on September the 12th. The leaves were already gone. This grower had already put 6 applications. And if you were to look on those leaves, he had a mancozeb that was sprayed by, I told you about aerial applicators. And if you go into the central part of Minnesota, this was a few weeks later, where the leaves were here again, looking like Muhammad, brown and unproductive. The yields were very good because this disease happened late in the season, but the sugar quality was very, very poor, which translated to millions of dollars in reduction in revenue. The epidemic of 2016 was a result of, just imagine, this fungus, when we look at numbers, in 1 acre, we can have 1 trillion spores. And it's very difficult to control 1 trillion spores. So what happened? In the production areas, we lost about $300 to $357 per acre, which translated to $219 million. We collected spores and confirmed that the fungus was resistant to the QOI fungicides. So in our trials, this was a check if you don't spray any fungicide. This fungicide here, Pryaxor, which was really a QOI and a SDHI, was effective, was the most effective fungicide for 12 years. And in one season, it became non-effective. And other fungicides which were using, such as Tin and the triazoles, and were previously effective, were now not as effective because of fungicide resistance. Did we learn anything? Yes. We learned that most of our fungicides, most of our Cercospora, were resistant not only to the QOI, but they were resistant to other mode of action. However, what we saw in our trials is, if we mix fungicides from different modes of action, they were effective, as the picture shows you here. If you used one of them alone, they were not effective. If you used two of them, a broad spectrum and a single side mode of action, it was effective, as again here in this picture. And we used that information in 2017 to help our growers who lost over $219 million in 2016 to have a phenomenal crop in 2017. So much so that this year, one of the co-op which has finished harvesting has a record crop of 30 tons per acre and 18% sugar, which was the highest recoverable sucrose per acre in history. So my take-home message is that this disease is very, very devastating, especially when it's warm and wet, but those conditions are also good for high yields. So we have to make sure that when the stars are all aligned for a good crop, we have to protect them by using fungicides and using better varieties so we can protect the gains that the farmers work very hard to achieve. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions. Go ahead, sir. The question is there any varietal resistance? There is some, but the more you increase resistance, it's an inverse relationship with yield and quality. So there are varieties that you can produce, you can use, but the growers will not use them because your yield or the sugar concentration is not high enough.
We have some, we've been doing some testing in Georgia during the winter for growing sugar beet, and during the winter it's fine, but in the spring, the later you harvest it, of course, the disease comes in big time. So beta seeds have been trying to get some of the